Money, it's a gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash. New car, caviar, four-star daydream. Think of buying a football team. Money. Get back. I'm all right, Jack. Keep your hands off of my stack. Money, it's a hit. Don't give me that too good, good bullshit. I'm in the high fidelity, first class traveling sector.
wasn't the right.
And hello there. It is Thursday evening. This is Marianne, and you're listening to Money Matters with Marianne. Hello, hello, hello. It is a chilly Thursday evening out there. It actually feels like November tonight, but still a nice temperature. So first of all, my apologies to the reader. I kind of cut off the end of the show, cut you off at the end there. So I do apologize for that. And so you missed the closing remarks, which I will do my best to recapture. So he would have thanked you for listening and said, be kind, do something fun, do something nice for someone else, get out there, volunteer in the community, make a difference. He would have said it much more eloquently, but sorry about that. Okay, so what do we have on the agenda for this evening? Well, we're going to talk about your relationship with credit. So reevaluating your relationship with credit. That's what we're going to share tonight. And so I want you to think a little bit about your relationship with credit. What is credit like to you? Is it like your best friend that you have a really great relationship with, that it's very comfortable, that it's very nurturing? Or do you have a tumultuous relationship, maybe like an ex in your life where there's a little bit of resentment, maybe some anger, some ill feelings? What is your relationship with credit like? If you have a really great relationship with credit, this is what it's going to look like. Basically, you're going to pay your bills off in full every month, and you're not going to pay any interest, and you're going to get some benefit from that relationship. So maybe you use it for points or rewards, and as a result, credit gives you a trip every year, or it gives you some free stuff. Now, the exception to paying interest would be a home, because I look at a mortgage on a house. Although no credit is really great, you know, it is a way for you to obtain having a home where you wouldn't otherwise, and so you can appreciate credit for that. Is that what your relationship with credit looks like? Or if you have a dysfunctional relationship with credit, it looks a whole lot different. Basically, you get your bills in the mail every month. You look at them with distaste and dissatisfaction. They cause stress in your life. They can cause anxiety. They can cause illnesses. And so ultimately, when you think about credit, you think about it in a negative light. You think about it with fear, with guilt, with regret, with remorse. I bet you've never really thought about your relationship with credit. And I hope that maybe now that I've mentioned it, you will. Because how you think about credit, how you view credit, how you use credit, how you treat credit will have a huge impact on what it brings to you and what it means in your life. And like any relationship, if it's gone down the wrong path or it's been derailed, it doesn't mean it's lost forever. It just means that you have to take some steps to repair that relationship. And that's kind of what we're talking about this evening. So I am going to share a Dear Debt letter that talks about relationship with credit. I'm going to dissect it a little bit and get into the words and what they mean. But before we do that, I'm going to start with a couple of things that I start every show with. So I do have my Money Funny. Let's lighten the mood with that. And a couple of tunes obviously coming up. I have a few things that popped up over the week that I'm going to share as reminders or possibly new information. And finally, towards the end of the show, I'm going to talk about steps that you can take to improve your relationship with credit. So that's what we're doing this evening. As always, if you have a song you'd like me to play, it does have to have something to do with money. And so, you know, dig deep, see what you can find out, come up with. You can, oh my gosh, I'll try to get my speaking together here. You can call the request line at 902-858-2077. Or you can email your request to studio@covefm.com and I'll keep an eye on that. All right, so here we go. Money Funny, it's a short one. On a billboard ad for a safe company, if your stuff is stolen, It's not our vault. I thought that was cute. All right, so let's see what we have coming up before we start kind of getting into the meat of the show. A couple of tunes. The first one is When the Money's All Gone, and the second one is Give Me All Your Money. So maybe as these songs are being played, you can think about what type of credit relationship or relationship with credit they're singing about, and maybe how that fits into your life. Or doesn't fit, whichever makes the most sense. So enjoy these tunes, and I'll be back to talk about reestablishing your relationship with credit.
She used to be pretty. She used to be cool. She was the one all the guys wanted when we were in school. She had herself a good job and fancy clothes. We thought she had it all, but what did we know? She used to have She had herself a big house and a fancy car. She used to travel around the world with a man on each arm. She had the finest jewelry and high-class clothes. She was the one that we called lucky, but what did we know? She used to have money.
Friday night, I just collected my pay. I went into a bar that was right along the way. The lights are down dim and the place is kind of dark. Up here in the corner sat that hungry old loan shark. Now, he was kind of mad because he hadn't been paid for a debt that I owed him for a bet that I made. He looked straight at me and said, come over here, son. If you want to leave here alive, give me all your money. 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 Don't look so sad, it ain't that bad, son. Quit grinding your beer and give me all your money. You better give it up. My dough. I ran into some buddies that I used to know. We start talking about the crazy things we used to do. We decide to go have ourselves a cold brew. Yes, we did. And we were lying, laughing, talking to Gab. The boys ran out of money, I start running the tab. When I get up and leave, I wait to say to me, son, before you move from that chair, give me all your money. 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 Don't look so sad, it ain't that bad, sonny. Quit buying your beer and give me all your money. You better give it up. Better play us some cards. I'm bitching and raising some more. When the last big pot and I head for the door. When I get to the street, I hear stick 'em up, sonny. You better reach for the sky. Give me all your money. 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 Your beer and give me all your money. 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 Don't look so sad, it ain't that bad, sonny. Quit grinding your beer and give me all your money. You better give it up. You better give it back. You know that guy's gonna come after me. He's gonna kick my. If I don't give him his money, what am I gonna do now? Give that back!
That's the Mike Oliver Band. Give me all your money.
You're listening to 88.7 Cove FM.
Hey everybody, I'm Stephanie Beaumont, inviting you to join me for See and Be Seen and Heard here on Cove FM. We'll sit down for a great chat with some of the amazing personalities that make up this corner of the world. We'll connect with East Coast folks and kindred spirits for an entertaining hour of conversation and fun flag waving. We'll gain a ton of insights, have a lot of laughs, and if we're lucky, learn a few things about Atlantic Canada along the way. Tune in for See and Be Seen and Heard Wednesdays at 2 p.m. and Sundays at 1 p.m. on Cove FM.
And you are listening to Money Matters with Marianne on Cove FM, broadcasting live from Hubbards, Nova Scotia, 88.7 FM on your radio dial or online at covefm.com. Okay, so we are talking about redefining your relationship with credit. So there's a few things that came up throughout the week that I think speak to this and I thought would be worth sharing. So the first one, this comes up a lot. So I was sitting with a gal earlier this week, and she said during the conversation as we were doing credit counseling stuff, but I had really great credit. And I every once in a while I play devil's advocate on this one, actually most of the time. And so I said, did you owe any money? Yes. Did you carry a balance on your cards and things that you had? Yes. And were you paying interest? Yes. I said, you didn't have good credit. So I think there's a big, huge, huge misconception that if we have a good credit score, we have good credit. What is good credit? What does that mean? So sure, maybe you have a good credit score, but that in no way means all the time that you are using credit in a responsible way, that you're using credit to the best of your ability or in a way that benefits you the best, in the best way that benefits you. So what does having good credit mean? Well, I think it means that you use credit to your advantage, that you don't pay interest or pay as little as possible, that you're not using credit to support a lifestyle that your income doesn't support. And basically, in my eyes, you're then winning the credit game. The minute you start carrying balances and paying interest, you're losing. You're losing the game. Because basically what you're doing is you are financing your future life now, or you're giving away your future life. You're living now and paying later. And payday later is not a fun place to be. I guarantee it. So basically what this person was saying is I had great credit because I could get credit. And again, that doesn't mean you have good credit. So really looking at, again, reevaluating your relationship with credit. How has it worked in the past? Is it working for you? Does it make you happy? Does it bring you joy? Does it do the things that you want to do? Now, I also heard another interesting thing last week that I think put this into perspective as well. And this was a friend that I was talking to. And basically they were saying they're getting older and they're having some health issues and they're paying back debt that they had incurred, you know, earlier on in life. But what they recognize, and I think this is really important because a lot of times it's just our perception. What they recognized is that they enjoyed what credit gave them in those earlier years. They enjoyed the ATV that they bought and the trips that they had and the experiences that it brought them. You know, they enjoyed their boat and being out in it and having that time together and with family and friends. And you can use this for anything you use credit for, enjoying the trips, enjoying whatever it is. The key is not to feel resentment when you have to start paying the credit back, but to remember that you use that credit during a time when you wanted to have more than your income would support, or you use that credit during a time when your income wasn't enough to make ends meet, and so you needed the credit to put food on the table, you know, gas in the car, pay your mortgage payments. And so appreciating what it gave you at that moment and paying it off. I don't want to say paying it off with joy, because maybe that might be stretching it, but paying it off without, you know, guilt and anger and frustration, and recognizing what it is you're actually paying for. So that was the first one. The second one, which I've said many times, I heard this on a blog post and I just keep coming back to it because I think it's perfect. You can afford anything. You just can't afford everything. Life is about making choices. And this is so true with our finances. And this came up this week because someone was struggling with feeling like they didn't have enough to do what they wanted to do. And so the dilemma was that there was a cost for their kids to go on a trip through school. Anyone with kids can appreciate that. And they didn't have as much money to do, you know, to go out and eat as they tended to like to. So that whole entertainment recreation piece. And so one of the expenses they had in their budget, they both smoked. Anyone who smokes knows how expensive that is. It was upwards of $800 a month. So I'm a reformed smoker. I'm not going to, I'm not going to bash smoking because, you know, been there, done that, know how difficult it is. But what I will say is you need to make a choice. And so they were spending $800 a month on cigarettes and they were stressing because they couldn't come up with $400 a month for their kids' trips. And I'm just using that as an example. It could be spending $400 at Tim Hortons. It could be, you know, $300 shopping. I mean, whatever it is. But the point is, yeah, you can't always afford everything. And don't get stuck in it. Don't get frustrated. Don't beat yourself up. Don't, you know, let the guilt and anxiety set in. Sit down and look at your cash flow. Look at where your money's going. Make some decisions. Some of them are going to be hard as to what you need to do to redirect your money to whatever it is that you want that's important to you. So again, redefining your relationship with credit. So the final one I wanted to share is this. And I think this is so, so, so important. The first thing that someone does when they come in to see me or someone in my profession is they start to tell their story. And I'm an empathetic person. I will listen to your story. I will. But I won't breathe life into it. And what I mean by that is you can get stuck in the story of why you're where you are and keep talking about it and keep breathing life in it and never break the cycle and never get out from underneath it. And so my final thought and comment is lose the victim mentality. It's no one's fault. It's not a mistake. It just is. Learn from it and move on. So if you're constantly blaming someone else or you're constantly blaming yourself or you're constantly, you know, upset about the circumstances that led to the financial situation you're in, job loss, relationship breakdown, illness, whatever it is, fine, recognize it, put it behind you, you know, focus on where you want to be now and move on. Nobody said that life was going to be perfect and that you had to get it right the first time. Life is all about making mistakes. And I use that word loosely because I don't believe there's mistakes. I believe there's learning opportunities. So if something in your life didn't work, then figure out what you're going to do to make it work better next time instead of constantly worrying about why it didn't work the first time. So those are a few comments that I had. And again, hopefully they've, you know, hit a nerve maybe here or there and just tweaked a little something in you that gets you passionate about taking your finances to the next level. So I'm going to play another couple of tunes for you. We do have the weather coming up. And then I'm going to come back and share Dear Debt Letter. And we're going to pick that one apart a little bit and look at the relationship with credit that is the, you know, kind of foundation of that letter. So who do we have coming up? We have Frank Grandy, You've Got the Money, Honey. And following that, we have Cage the Elephant, Ain't No Rest for the Wicked. So enjoy these couple of tunes, and I will be back.
You got the money, honey. I got the time. We'll go honky-tonk. We'll have a time. We'll have more fun, baby, on the way down the line. You got the money, honey, I got the time. There ain't no need to tarry, so let's start out tonight. We'll have fun, oh boy, and we'll do it right. Bring along your Cadillac, keep my old wreck behind. You got the money, honey, I got the time. We'll go honky-tonk, make every spot in town. We'll go to the park, we're stark, and we won't fool around. You run short of money, I'll run short of time. You got no more money, honey, I've no more time. You got the money, honey, I got the time. We'll go honky-tonk, we'll have a time. Bring along your Cadillac, keep my old wreck behind. You got the money, honey, I got the time. We'll go honky-tonkin', make every spot in town. We'll go to the park, we're starting, we won't fool around. You run short of money, I'll run short of time. You got no more money, honey, I've no more time. You got the money, honey, I got the time. We'll go
go honky tonk, we'll have a time. Bring along your Cadillac, leave my old wreck behind. You got the money, honey, I got the time. You got the money, honey, I got the time. We'll go honky tonk and we'll have a time. We'll have more fun, baby, on the way down the line. You got the money, honey, I got the time.
Approaching me, she said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone. Could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me and this is what she said. Oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. No, there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good. Not even 15 minutes later, I'm still walking down the street when I saw the shadow of a man creep out of sight. And then he swept up from behind, he put a gun up to my head. He made it clear he wasn't looking for a fight. He said, give me all you got, I want your money, not your life. If you try to make a move, I won't think twice. I told him, you can have my cash, but first you know I gotta ask, what made you wanna live this kind of life? He said there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know I can't slow down, I can't hold back, though you know I wish I could. Oh no, there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good. Taking money from the church, he stuffed his bank account with righteous dollar bills. But even still, I can't say much because I know we're all the same. Oh yes, we all seek out to satisfy those thrills. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back, though you know we wish we could.
And there was a couple of tunes, Ain't No Rest for the Wicked. I always like that tune, even though it's kind of sad. And you got the money, honey. I got the time. All right. I have a dear debt letter for you. It's a short one. Some of them are very, very long, but not this one. Here we go. Dear debt. Wow. We have been doing this dance for so long. You have become such a key feature of my life and my story. I've wrapped myself in you and used you as an excuse for putting off so many things in my life and keeping people at arm's length. It's time now to say goodbye and let you go. Let go of the behaviors that make me feel unworthy, shameful, and stuck in a loop. Sometimes you were there to help me out in emergencies, but most of the time I used you as a crutch to help me through hard or uncomfortable times when I didn't want to confront the real emotional issues I was dealing with. I'm letting you go now so that I can move on and enjoy the next season of my life, the season of freedom, real independence, and wealth. I'm ready to stop paying for and reliving the past on a regular basis. I'm looking forward now and excited to live a life full of choices and opportunities. Thanks again, old friend, but I'm off. So I find this letter interesting, and I just picked out a few key phrases that I wanted to highlight. So I find in the first paragraph, it says, I used you as an excuse for putting off so many things in my life. And that's kind of contrary to what we were talking about earlier, where sometimes credit is used to do things that you won't be able to do later, maybe because of credit, but you got to do them in your lifetime. And, you know, certainly, as I said with the couple I was talking to, as you get older and there's potential illnesses and maybe you can't do things, that can be a benefit. So it'd be really interesting to know what this contributor had put off as a result of credit. And also said, in keeping people at arm's length. So I wasn't quite sure what that one is. But you can see how the relationship with credit really gets woven through. So then he goes on to say, I think it's a he, it's time now to say goodbye and let you go. And I read that and thought, okay, I wonder what his plan is, because it's not that easy to let go of debt once you're wrapped up in it. And it can take a lot of planning and commitment and dedication to do that. And let go of behaviors that make me feel unworthy, shameful, and stuck in a loop. So what behaviors? Well, there's a couple that come to mind when dealing with credit. And certainly the phrase that popped into my mind was retail therapy. Retail therapy is great for giving you that high, that sense of accomplishment or that sense of worthiness when you spend money on yourself or others. And obviously that can be a very destructive behavior. And also not making a plan for a spending plan for where your money goes. And it's really easy to avoid doing that when you have credit and you can spend more than you make. And then he mentions the feelings of unworthy, shameful, and stuck in a loop. And I talked about those, and they're part of the story and part of what keeps you tied to your credit. And so just let go of those. In fact, I have to share, I was watching a YouTube video that had been recommended on a group that I belong to. And it was Bob Newman, Stop It. Well, I laughed. So if you haven't seen that, please go look that up. Bob Newman, Stop It. And anyway, it was really funny. I won't see any more. You can watch it and see what you think. Okay, so he went on to say, sometimes you were there to help me out in emergencies. And, you know, again, credit can be worthwhile in doing that. However, what I would argue is you don't treat your credit like an emergency fund. It makes far more sense to put money aside to have in the case of an emergency. Because if you put it on credit and you don't pay it off in full every month, you're paying interest and your emergency is costing you more money. And if you can't put money aside for an emergency, how are you going to pay the credit card bill when it comes in? Okay, so then he talks about the next season of his life, the season of freedom, real independence, and wealth. And I think ultimately at the end of the day, that's all of us want. And there's one thing I've heard from so many of my clients that I think is great is when they come in and say, you know what? I don't want credit again. I love having not having credit. I've never felt so free. I don't feel tied down. I don't have the stress. And so at some point when we get credit, it's a joy and we think it's wonderful, but very quickly that feeling goes away and it becomes like a ball and chain or a noose around our neck and it doesn't have that same feeling anymore. So not having it and not being in debt can be way more freeing than having the credit. And he says, I'm ready to stop paying and reliving the past on a regular basis. And this goes back to what I talked about, the story. It holds you back. It keeps you stuck. And so you want to break free of that. And he's excited to live a life full of choices and opportunities, a life without credit. So I don't think we really get a chance to think about life without credit because we start out in debt very early on in life. I mean, the minute you get your house, you're in debt. You go get your car, you're in debt. Then you get that first credit card and before you know it, the balance creeps up. And some people get that early on and they pay off their mortgage and they pay off their car and they save, have down payments for vehicles or they buy vehicles that don't require car payments, so used vehicles. And they pay off their credit card each month and they only have one credit card and it's a low limit. But unfortunately, that's getting rarer and rarer, and more people are just, falling victim to the credit society and using more than their income can handle. Buy now, pay later. So that was my Dear Debt letter. So, quarter two. I guess we should move on to a couple more songs, shouldn't we? So I have Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer, because sometimes I think we feel like we're just living on a prayer, and it's hard to kind of get a grasp and get ourselves, our feet planted back on the ground. And then T.G. Shepherd, One for the Money. So enjoy those. I'll be back with some tips on how you can redefine your relationship with credit and how you kind of break free of that and start to get back on the right track. All right. So enjoy these songs. We'll chat again in a few minutes.
Whoa, 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 wh smoke horizon surely is a train. Surely is a train, boy, surely is a train. Black smoke horizon and it surely is a train. I'm on my long journey home.
Lost all my money but a $2 bill. $2 bill, boy, $2 bill.
Raining and I want to go home. Want to go home, oh, want to go home. Dark and raining and I want to go home. I'm on my long journey home.
Lost all my money but a $2 bill. $2 bill, oh, $2 bill. Lost all my money but a $2 bill.
So I snuck in a song there, lost all my money, but a $2 bills. Anybody remember $2 bills? Had one of those now, we wouldn't want to lose it, would we? They are rare, few and far between. All right, we're coming up to the top of the hour, which means that I have to start to wind down this show. But before I do that, I want to give you some tips on what you can do to redefine your relationship with credit. And I want to tell you that it's really actually very simple. There's only a few things that need to be done. Now, they're very simple things, but they can be very challenging to do. Sometimes you can do them on your own, and sometimes you might need a helping hand to help guide you and give you some of the tools necessary. So here's the first thing that I would suggest. If you want to look at your relationship with credit, take a piece of paper and a pen and do your, you know, old-fashioned pros and cons list. So I want you to write down credit in my life, pros on one side, cons on the other, and I want you to list the value that credit brings to you, the joy, what it is that it contributes to your life in a positive way, and then I want you to make the cons list and list all of the ways that it contributes to your life in a negative way. And then just look at that list and see which side is more heavily weighted. The second thing I'm going to suggest is that you try living without it, which means stop using it. And that's the only way you can do it. It's the only way you can break the cycle. If you have debt and you're constantly relying on it to make ends meet, you have to stop using it. And I know that can be really challenging because it all gets very convoluted. Your cash and your credit and your credit payments. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to kind of separate the two. And so the only way that you're going to start that process is by setting up a plan. You need to have a plan. So you need to have some idea of what money's coming in. You need to know what you're going to pay and when. So you start with the monthly view, but you break it down per pay period. If you're paid every week or every 2 weeks, you need to know exactly what's coming out every week or every 2 weeks out of that paycheck and how much your debt repayment is. And if your debt repayment's too high, then you need help. You need to look at refinancing or restructuring or renegotiating your debt in order to help you do that. If your expenses exceed your income, you've got to change your income or your expenses. Otherwise, you'll never break the cycle. You also have to figure out how you are going to handle expected expenses. So there's a difference between emergencies and expected expenses, things like car repairs and Christmas. These are things you have all the time, and you want to build them into your plan so you're not relying on credit. And finally, you want to decide what's important to you. What is it that you want to do this for? What is it you want to save for? Why do you want to redirect your spending? At the end of the day, you have to spend less than you earn, period. You have to spend less than you earn. If you're spending more than you earn, you will never, ever, ever break this cycle. If you can't, you need to earn more or sell stuff or cut expenses or refinance or restructure. That's it. Do a plan. Test the plan, review the plan, revise the plan, and repeat. Plan, test, review, revise, repeat, and you just keep doing it. And you need to explore new ways. So if it ain't working if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it's broke, fix it. So what are some new ways? If you typically use debit, try using cash. If cash doesn't work for you, use debit. Maybe you're going to meal plan. Maybe you're going to buy in bulk. Maybe you're going to use the envelope method. These are all things I talk about on the show, and I invite you to tune in and join me every Thursday evening so that you can constantly pick up new ideas, new tips, new techniques to help you have happier, healthier finances. So with that, I do have to wind this up because we have another show starting after me. So I'm going to send you out with Monty Python's Money Song, and I'm going to invite you to stick around because Lash LaRue is on with his 80s at 8 show. And I listen to it when I leave here. It's a great show, so you definitely want to stick around and catch that. All right, wishing you all happy, healthy finances. Have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you next week.
I've got £90,000 in my pajamas. I've got 40,000 French francs in my fridge. I've got lots of lovely lira. Now the Deutschmark's getting dearer, and my dollar bills would buy the Brooklyn Bridge. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money. There is nothing quite as beautiful as cash. Some people say it's folly, but I'd rather have the lolly. With money you can make a splash. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money. There is nothing like a newly minted pound. Everyone must hanker for the butchness of a banker. It's accountancy that wakes the world around. You can keep your Marxist ways, but it's only just a phase. For it's money, money, money makes the world go round.